Hello and welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christ Church Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho for the Bible Reading Challenge. My name is Catherine Church. Well, Christmas is 6 days away, and I'm sure you guys are all up to your eyeballs too with presents to get wrapped and food to get prepped and all of that. We're still finishing up school for our kids. They've got a half day tomorrow, and it can be overwhelming, but it's a wonderful overwhelming of why we're doing all of this. And we're doing it because Christ became flesh, and Christmas is a deep joy and a rich joy. And Bible reading, though, is one of the things that can let slip while we're prepping all this stuff, but the audio Bible is just the perfect best tool for that. While we're busy about getting things done, we can be reminded of why we're getting all of that done, because we're listening to the story of Christ's birth and what happened and all of the events that led up to it, which is just an absolute joy. And to talk to you about that today, we have Rachel Jankovic, her sister-in-law Grace Jankovic, and Paula Casebolt. And Rachel Jankovic, you all know, I'm sure, she helped spearhead the Bible Reading Challenge full speed ahead. And her sister-in-law, Grace, when I'd asked them for a fun fact, told us that she can actually juggle, which we didn't know. Rachel didn't know that even. So that's a unique and gift that I don't think most of us probably possess. Paula and Rachel both grew up in Moscow and have known each other for a long time. And I'll let these ladies chat with you today. All right. I was supposed to record this on my phone too. We're set now. I'm Rachel Jankovic. This is my sister-in-law, Grace Jankovic, and friend Paula Casebolt. We've known each other since
kindergarten.
Well, I was probably you were five. In kindergarten, which would mean I was younger. So yeah, we've all been around for a long time, I guess. So this week I was thinking about the reading. I didn't finish it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So this morning I had more chapters. It was like 9 or 10 chapters or something. And I was just struck by thinking about doing this. Like, it's like walking into like an incredible treasure room and then being like, do you guys see anything of value?
No.
Did you? Anything jump out?
Before we started, like, what have you guys picked up in Luke? Luke is so full of things, especially as we're heading into Christmas week, where you know there's going to be a lot of fun, but a lot of area for temptation.
We know that.
But I just, it struck me about the whole thing with, you know, the Mary and Martha passage is always us going into the...
So good. I love how when you hear the teaching of Jesus like that in bulk, you know, like where it's like he says this to this person and this to this person, and then they go here and he says this, and it makes it so that you couldn't pull out one little sentence and be like, this is the essence of Jesus.
Right.
And then misapply it all over the place, because you see how he doesn't, it's not that he's changing the truth, it's that it's not at all wooden. It's very different depending on like his tone or what he's drawing out. And it just prohibits that kind of hard, like, do you know what I mean by that? Like go ahead.
I think we saw that just in conversation about he like that somebody was talking on Facebook about the different response to Zechariah and to Mary, to their response.
Yes.
How is this happening?
Yeah.
And Jesus or the angel responds differently in both.
Well, like, because you do get the perception that Zechariah is in trouble in some way. Yeah. Although I'm not sure that he is, or if the silence is part of the sign of what's happening.
That's more what I thought too.
I wondered about that, because I also wonder about it because it's interesting that it's what puts fear in all the people. Mm-hmm. You know, like the fact of his silence, all the people know it's a miraculous thing, which is different than if his wife just got pregnant.
Right.
They'd be like, well, that's crazy, but, you know, crazy things happen.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It felt more momentous because he came out and he was
And
silent.
He doesn't ever seem grieved by the silence either. It's not like, it's like he's, he writes, his name is John.
Yeah.
And also it's an interesting thing when John is the one who goes out crying, like when he is a loud voice. Mm-hmm. It is an interesting thing that it's this, I mean, it's just an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah.
I kind of like
and it just struck me that, like, that he is the priest. He's in there, and then they start wondering, why is he taking so long?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Something must be happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think it's interesting that, like, there's silence from the priesthood, Yes. And then this prophet comes along.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting things about it. But also Mary to me doesn't seem like she's questioning it. She seems like she's just like, so how's this happening?
Yeah.
You know, like it's more like, okay, I believe it.
Which is a very womanly thing. Like I can totally see a woman asking that differently than a man. Yeah.
Well, what's the actual plan?
Yeah.
How is this actually going to come together? Yeah. So one thing that super jumps out at me that is not traditionally brought up around Christmas time, but you were talking about commenting temptations of the holiday time. And the one that I just love is when the disciples are like, it's the feeding of the 5,000 or 4,000. Not sure which one. I can't remember. Whatever. I just read it. There were thousands of people. But the disciples going to Jesus and being like, we need to send all these people home because they're going to be hungry. They're going to be. And I just love how Jesus is like, why don't you feed them? Like, because you get that impression that they would be like, what? Like, that's not feasible. And I think how that's so, like you were talking about ways that women behave, that's so accurate of in advance of the holidays being like, we just need to, everybody needs to not have expectations of anything. We need to like these, all these people, you should go away. You should not require things of me. You should not expect anything. Yeah. And I just love the response of Jesus, like, so why are you not feeding them? and that the idea that, of course, that time was miraculous, that Jesus was dividing the bread, but how anything we give to Christ, if we're offering our celebrations, we're offering our cleaning, we're offering it, it's all in his hands, which means that all of it is multiplying like that. All of it is his authority and his power and like what he's doing. And it's not really the disciples were not capable of just ginning up a meal for everyone, but because it was in the hands of Christ, it goes way further than you would ever expect.
And the people needed to be fed, and that's what he was talking about with I can't even remember where it was, but just you're forgetting the inside. It was, I think it was when he was not washing his hands, and he's like, you're forgetting that both the inside and the outside, you're really careful with the outside, but you're neglecting the important part.
Right.
But the people still need to be fed. It's not like you can be like, well, they'll be fine.
We'll just do the spiritual thing and not take care of these. Yeah, we'll just, our hearts are good, so we're not going to do the work of the holidays or the work of feeding people or any of this. And I also always love, and now I can't remember if it's in the Luke account, but it's in some of the accounts of this, is that afterwards that Jesus does this miracle of provision. But when we think of miracles, we think of the miracle of taking the work away.
Right.
Like, because we do, I think of
like Mary Poppins,
like the miracle is like snap your fingers and you don't really have to clean up.
Yeah.
It'll just be a fun time instead. Yeah. Or so, isn't it Sword in the Stone? The spell that's like washing the dishes. Yeah. Like, we're fascinated with that. And yet when Jesus miraculously does things, he miraculously provides enough food for you to go serve it to all those people.
Right.
You know, like he gives the provision for your work.
And
then he says, pick it up. Like, and I love that he's like, so you guys are on cleanup, and I love that, and it's another thing that it's like, yeah, of course our holiday food and our provision for people is not being spontaneously provided. Mm-hmm. You're probably having to go to the grocery store. You're probably having to pay money for it, but it's the same thing that Christ has given you all of this to give and to serve people and to clean up after them. And what a joy that is, to serve him in that way, that he provided this pretty miraculously.
Yeah.
Like, we think of it as kind of, it's kind of boring, but with my kids, I'm always talking about when we, by rote, we say, thank you for this food and the hands who made it.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do the explore. How many hands do you think made this?
Yeah. How did it get?
How many people? And you take something super boring, like a PBJ, and you think probably millions of people were involved in making the PBJ, because if you go all the way back to who figured out how to plant peanuts this way, who figured out how to make the peanut butter, who made the machinery that would make it, who maintains it, who ships it, who does, like.
Speaking of a miraculous.
Yeah, you're like, yeah.
My favorite thing, like Sesame Street when I was a kid, was when they did the Crayola factory, and you'd go and watch how the Crayolas were made. And it would be crazy just to think of how things go from beginning to end and all the marketing.
And you're like, we just think of it as being so boring, and yet it's an incredible gift of provision that you got. That you have anything in your fridge, that you have a fridge, that you have, and I love that at this time of year especially. It's so sweet to celebrate with what God has given us, to celebrate what he did for us yeah. with what he has given us.
And so many blessings, and your dad was talking about receiving, mm-hmm. that we're always in that, we're always receiving. We're receiving our next breath and,
yeah.
you know, heartbeat and all those things. So we're used to receiving, and then it's the giving. But I just was thinking about that because Hannah Greaser posted something about the blessings falling from the sky because we have a lot of snow. And, yeah, you know, the blessings of the car that takes our kids to school anyway because they have good tires and, you know, you can still
get... And the blessings of a Duraflame log yeah, that I put in the fireplace. Yeah. It's
the so atmosphere. Classy.
It's,
so
good. It's yeah. the classiest kind of log yeah. that a person can have.
But I think that's kind of the key in fighting temptation in the holiday is just constant gratitude.
Totally.
There's so much receiving, even not when you're not talking about gifts.
I loved from that sermon, the thing that really jumped out at me is that he was talking about that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Right.
And what I loved about that is he was saying that there is no escape from, because you say it's more blessed to give, which means that when you're giving, you're receiving great blessing mm-hmm. from God. So there's no escaping being a receiver.
Receiver, yeah.
And the whole point is to want to be a God-honoring receiver, because if you're saying, I want to give more, well, that's saying, I want more blessing from God because I want to be giving more.
Right.
And I love that. I love thinking about that. Well, it ties in with everything we're saying, that you want it to be in Christ's hands so that whatever you're dealing with, he's the one directing where it's coming from, yeah. where it's going. And yeah.
Because it's impossible to give if you haven't received already. I mean, what else could you, what can you give away?
What can you give
yeah.
if you haven't received?
Yeah. Well, and all of this, many elements of this are reminding me of Satan tempting Jesus in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm.
That is what really jumped out at me this time through was just the things that Satan gives him, wants to, like...
Offers
him.
Right.
Are things that God said he would give him also, you know?
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
like the stones turned into bread, like God did say.
Well, and he's quoting scripture.
Yeah,
Satan's
yeah.
like, we don't remember.
Exactly.
What scripture says.
Yes, yeah, which is exactly like, yes, scripture can be misused, like any good gift, good thing. The better it is, the more it could be misused. But like Jesus, that doesn't stop him. And the listening on audio, I picked up how Satan was offering him authority. Like mm-hmm. he says, I have authority over all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Just have to worship me.
Yeah.
Easy peasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It won't be a problem at all.
Yeah.
But then like immediately after when Jesus teaches, like people marveled that he was teaching with such authority. Like yeah. he already had it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had more because he won over the devil. He had
yeah.
God's authority from the word. In himself, and that's what he was
right.
giving away.
Yeah, I love that. So, do you guys have any particular strategy for keeping on reading during a chaotic and hectic time?
Well, it's definitely listening, because I
yes.
listened all the way out here today. But I've been because she lives in the country.
I'm in the country,
and I live in the country, in the different side of the country. so I listened to that. But also, I think sometimes when I get a little crazy and nuts, like the other day, I was getting grouchy about something. I'm sure it was traffic.
Never.
and I was just like, you know what? I'm just gonna put it, because I know I haven't done my reading yet. I'm gonna put that in. And just to hook it up to my audio in my car, and I'm like, that is just, it's tools, it's a weapon, really. It's girding yourself
yeah.
for.
It's also
yeah.
it's also true that it's the mirror of the word, right? When you're having this heart, it's like, isn't it James that says that? It's like looking in the mirror, but then not remembering what you saw if you're not obeying
right.
it. You know, like that you just
yeah.
walk away and nothing
yeah.
stays with
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
But it's also true that if you plan to obey it.
Mm-hmm.
The word is a mirror that really shows you what you need to
yeah.
see in yourself.
Yeah.
And that so often, one thing that I have noticed is that if you're in that situation, you're kind of grouchy. It's a great signal to yourself that you don't feel like listening to
yeah.
the Bible. Or you don't feel like reading it because
yeah.
you're like, no, because I'm actually having I'm having a really important fuss
yeah.
right now.
Oh, yeah.
There's something that I need to do first before
when you
want to
lean
I
into the
that.
Grouchiness instead of like, why am I grouchy?
Instead of fighting
yeah.
it. Yeah,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
I was talking to a friend the other day who said that her husband asked her the other day, she was having a hard time with something. He was like, so have you been doing your Bible reading? And
oh.
she was like,
And I was laughing because I actually think the only times my husband asked me if I've read my Bible is when I haven't.
Yeah.
Like, it's only ever, like, if it's, like, the day that you're like, and anyways, this other, and he's like, so have you read your Bible today? And you're like,
that is not the
point. Well, I was telling you what a crazy day this was. And you're like, stop talking about that. That's not what I want to talk about. But I love that kind of accountability because that's what we need. Yeah. Like, and it's wonderful that it shows that it shows on us if we're not, you know, it's like a little kid who's like fussing and you're like, you need a snack, you know, someone who's like on the couch.
Right. But I really appreciate the Gospels because it just, I don't know what you said earlier, but it was making me think about just the personality or the person of Jesus and how he's a father. There's so many different aspects of his, I don't know.
Well, his ministry to us.
Yeah. And I just love seeing all of those aspects because it just gives you, I don't know, it just puts perspective in your day too.
Yes. And it gives you, I think, I used this example before in the group sometime, but it's like if you read a novel a long time ago and you remember things about it, but you don't remember details about it.
Yeah.
And then if somebody, and the example I used then was Mr. Darcy. So say you read Pride and Prejudice. I'm like, what book is that? You'd read Pride and Prejudice, but it's been 10 years, you know? And then someone's like, I just really think it's interesting how Mr. Darcy has so much hatred of the lower class, and you can really see that in how he treats the servants. Mm-hmm. And you'd be kind of like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I genuinely don't know what you're talking about. But you're not so fresh on the material that you could be like, you're making stuff up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not, you haven't read it so recently that you even know what to ask.
Yeah.
And so you end up playing this telephone game where you actually believe people when they're saying things about Jesus that are not true.
Yeah.
Like, that are actually fabricated from somewhere they heard it. They might not know they're lying. You know, somebody else said this is the way Jesus was. And when you're reading big groups of things, of scripture at one time, you have recently been over the material. So if someone says, oh, Jesus always, you know, and they say something that you're like,
bringing the peace to the world. And he's like,
or like, Jesus would never have said anything that would hurt someone's feelings.
Yeah.
Well, we just read today multiple occasions where Jesus opens up addressing someone as, you hypocrite, right? Like, and so you're like, well, actually, but I was just listening to Jesus today. He didn't sound like someone who was afraid to ever...
Conflict.
He, it was like, no, I know him because I am listening to him.
And
that's different than I love him, but I don't listen to him and I can't remember the details. So when other people tell me things, I am easily led astray.
Yeah.
It's just one of the reasons that we... want to keep in the word and keep faithfully reading, continuing in it. And we are so happy to have all of you here doing it with us.
Yeah. And 18,000. And I love how it represents, because I was thinking about how it represents so many more people because your families are doing it.
Yeah, so many people are doing it. And I also have loved the little stories that have come up in the group lately of people meeting the other. I think someone...
That was crazy.
I love that. Yeah. But I love that it was someone in the... someone in a coffee shop in England who was like, I think that lady looks like she's reading in the book of Judges.
She's reading the same book
and we're on the same page.
Someone is randomly reading
if you're
Judges.
Randomly reading Judges, it does signal you must be doing this for a different reason than just like having a hard day. So if you're in Philippians, you might not know as well. But we're just so delighted to have all of you doing it with us. What a blessing. And what a great thing to enjoy as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and that we are all family in him. And even though we don't know you all, we have so much affection and kinship for you all. We're praying for you, and may this be just a wonderful Christmas season. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.